Glory to you, God, whose power working in us right now is doing more than we could ask or even imagine. Amen. The Apostle Peter must have been in a pretty noisy household where he was staying in Joppa to seek out a rooftop as a quiet place to pray. And that is the opening scene in our first reading today from the Acts of the Apostles. It is in this remote part of the house, above the busyness, noise, and chaos of family, that Peter gets into some serious praying. Intense praying seemed to be a necessary habit in the life of the Apostle Peter. Prayer, in fact, is the first thing Peter did in last week's healing of the woman Tabitha. Everyone had been quite upset and worried. Women friends were crying. People were standing around waiting for the worst to happen. Then Peter arrived, was taken upstairs where Tabitha lay dying, and asked everyone to leave so he could pray. It was from prayer that he had the power to say, "Tabitha, get up," and she was healed. Now back to today's reading. In that same city of Joppa, Peter was praying on top of the roof, the only peaceful place in the house. It was his spirit connection. And on this particular day, prayer got Peter into hot water. Peter went up to Jerusalem to face fellow believers who could not understand the rumors that he ate with Gentiles, preached to them, and accepted them into the Christian community. He had a lot of explaining to do. He was definitely in the hot seat. He was called on the carpet for breaking the rules. The tension was between those who wanted a narrow circle of inclusion, only Jewish converts, and those who wanted to expand the circle to non-Jews until all God's children had a place at the table. So the hot-button topic was if Gentiles could be received as believers. Now, this episode was so important, it was actually repeated twice. First in chapter 10, and then in chapter 11, which we heard today. It was important because it was revolutionary. It altered the makeup of the church from then on. So this episode begins with Peter giving testimony to his fellow church leaders about a vision he had while praying on the roof. He saw a sheet lowered from heaven with a variety of creatures on it. He was told to kill and eat. Now, as a devout Jew, Peter refused because the food was profane and unclean. Then he heard the crucial line, the clincher that changed everything. What God has made clean, you must not profane. God then instructed Peter to go with three men who came to the house. He went, and when he arrived at their destination, he went into the house and preached. As he spoke, the Spirit came upon the household, just as the Spirit had come upon the apostles at Pentecost. Peter shared this experience at the assembly in Jerusalem, and he concluded that God the Creator did not intend to exclude anyone from the community of God's care. In telling this story, his fellow church leaders fell silent. Peter said it for them. Who was I that I could hinder God? It had been through prayer that Peter learned what God wanted of him. And Peter did and said things he might not have had the guts to do otherwise. Now, we might look back on these episodes in the events of the early church and think of these people as giants of faith. Yes, they had faith, but they struggled and argued. They struggled to know what to do next after Jesus died. They struggled to know what God wanted of them and what was God up to in the midst of their arguments. They struggled to understand how and to whom to spread the good news. It seems nothing has changed 2,000 years later. We argue about all kinds of issues in society and in our churches. But these early missionaries of the good news went forward, trusting in the power of the Holy Spirit, arguing when they needed to clarify, praying their way through thorny issues, and acting in good faith. So we have been given examples in Scripture. We need to pray when we have household arguments, church disagreements, and political issues that polarize. I dare say we need to pray with the Bible in one hand and the newspaper or internet in the other and say to God, "What are you asking of us?" I dare say we need to address hot-button issues like immigration with a heart attuned to the Holy Spirit and do some intense praying like Peter did. The bottom line is when the tough problems surface, when issues demand justice, when someone is in your face for an answer, when decisions need to be made that are life-altering, we need to make prayer our starting point, not the last resort. Peter was not a special kind of prayer person. He had been a regular guy. He had been a rough and tough fisherman. He probably would have had a drink of beer at the closest bar at the Sea of Galilee. But Jesus changed his life, and it was not an easy change. Jesus grew on him. Peter had made mistakes along the way, but everything Jesus promised exploded inside of him when he and the other apostles received the Holy Spirit at Pentecost. Peter left that upper room on fire. He preached and prayed and preached, prayed and healed, prayed and changed his mind about a lot of things, as we see in today's gospel. The Apostle Peter had grown up with certain prejudices, with a certain attitude about the way things should be. Who had a right to what? Who was in and who was out? But God invited him to see and live a different way. And God is doing the same thing today, inviting us to see and live a different way, a more tolerant, loving way. The fabric of society depends on this, so we do not fall victims to fear and prejudice. God is truly stirring up the waters in our society today. We need to pray about it and do something. Jesus puts it to us this way: "I give you a new commandment, that you love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." This is not a suggestion. Jesus gave us a commandment. Listen, people. Just as I have loved you, you also should love one another. Some people take this very seriously and literally give their lives for another. You might have heard it last week. Last Sunday morning in Queens, a homeless man was killed trying to stop an attack. His name was Hugo. He was 31 years old. And he was stabbed several times in the chest when he intervened in a fight between a man and a woman. The woman survived her attack, but Hugo, who saved her life, did not. Surveillance video captured him collapsing on the sidewalk. The video shows a variety of people who walk by, some even stopping to look. But not one person called for help, and he bled to death. Hugo did what Jesus taught. No greater love does a man have than to lay down his life for another. But especially nowadays, it seems everyone is afraid to get involved. So I am amazed that my dad was not afraid to get involved years ago when I was a little girl. My dad always went to the same bank each week, up the street from our candy store in Manhattan Beach. So as was his custom, he went to the bank on a particular Friday with cash and checks to deposit. He went up to the teller, and the teller leaned over with fear on her face and said, "Frank, I was just robbed and he's leaving the bank right now." My dad put down his canvas bag of cash and checks and went right out the door following the bank robber. They turned the corner. The bank robber swung around and shouted at my dad, "What are you doing?" My dad said, "I am following you. You robbed the bank." Thank God at that very moment, police cars drove up. The man was grabbed and frisked by the police. They pulled out a loaded gun from his pocket. The police turned to my dad and said, "You were lucky, you could have been killed." My dad helped with the police report, went back into the bank, finished his business, then went back to the candy store. Now, my parents worked together. So when my dad came in quite a bit later than usual, my mom looked up from chocolate dipping and said, "Frank, where have you been all this time?" My dad simply replied, "I just caught a bank robber." Then he sat down, realizing what he had just done. My dad had gotten involved. My dad had been known around town as a caring person. My dad took his Christian faith very seriously. So it surprised no one when they heard what he had just done. What patterns of behavior are forming in your life? Are you willing to get involved in the risky business of love? Do you take prayer seriously? Remember, intense praying seemed to be a necessary habit in the life of the Apostle Peter. Prayer is God's business, and we are all invited to be instruments of prayer as Peter was. Prayer is a listening to God. It is not reserved for rooftop moments. It actually is meant to be as easy as breathing. Prayer can be such a sensitive listening that when a situation presents itself, you have the capacity to act because it is God's Spirit acting through you. And Jesus wants us to act with love. As we go about our daily busyness, let us root ourselves in a prayerful listening to the Spirit of God. Knowing that God is always with us, may we not be afraid to get involved. As we go about our business as a church, let us remember that the world is watching. People will know whose we are by our love for one another. As we confront the issues of the day, let us prayerfully seek the way for all of God's children to live life with freedom and dignity. The Apostle Peter was persuaded that God the Creator did not intend to exclude anyone from the community of God's love. His conclusion was revolutionary. Our dismissal hymn today echoes this revelation and call to action. And so too does the front cover of your worship bulletin. So I end with the words of today's dismissal hymn. In Christ there is no east or west, in him no south or north, but one great fellowship of love throughout the whole wide earth. Join hands, disciples of the faith, whatever your race may be. Who serves my Father as his child is surely kin to me. Amen.